It's a great honour to share with you on worship, and actually to lead this morning and to follow on with talking about worship, because actually it is the whole lifestyle we live, it's the whole response, and hopefully some of the songs that we've already sung have perhaps just pointed you in the direction of what worship really is all about. Now I know worship is more than singing, and I want to say that right from the very start. It's more than just coming on a Sunday gathering together. It is that, but it's more. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is why and how we prepare for worship. Why and how do you and I prepare ourselves for worship? So really, it's a step before what we've done this morning, as we've sung our worship, is a step before that response that God calls us to do. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke. If you have the paper version or the tablet version, it doesn't matter. It's all great stuff. Luke chapter 7. And I'm going to read just a passage at the end, starting at verse 36. So Luke chapter 7, then 36 to the end of the chapter. This is a brilliant illustration, a lovely illustration of someone coming, someone being prepared to go into a place that really, they weren't really that necessarily welcome, but to respond, to give an act of worship to Jesus himself. So it says this: when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and another 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." A wonderful account of someone coming to the feet of Jesus and worshiping, giving him what he's worth. And a very simple definition of worship, really, if you change the word worship to worth-ship, that might help us all to understand actually what worship is. It's giving worth. And one of the greatest definitions or sort of like creeds that I've got, this many, many years ago as a little bookmark. Worship is my response to what I value most. What I value most is God. I was made by Him and for Him. He is awesome beyond comprehension. I exist for the purpose of reflecting back to God His matchless glory. I will exalt Him with my mouth and my life, for He is my joy, my hope, my strength, and my salvation. This day will be used to know and love Him better. So let's just remember that worship is our response to what we value most. Well, the theme we've got, why and how should we prepare ourselves for worship? I've broken it down into two. Firstly is, why? Why should we prepare ourselves? What is the need? Why should we discipline ourselves to be prepared to worship? And as I said before, this is not just coming on a Sunday, but it can be applied to coming together as a gathering like this. How do you prepare yourselves to come into a place like this and then to sing and exalt worship? I believe it's more than that. If you write some things down, you might want to just write this first one down. He is the one deserving of our worship purely because of who He is. He is the one, God is the one who deserves our worship purely because of who He is. I'll stress that because actually sometimes it's right for us to think about what He's done for us. But actually even before we existed, even before humanity was created, God was God and God was to be worshipped. So it's setting aside a little bit of, okay, yes, I'll come on to in a minute what He's done for us, because that is a great reason why we need to prepare. But actually before that, God is always God. He has always been, He has always will be. He hasn't been created. Yes, He is the creator, but He has not been created. Quite a few years ago, my sister and brother-in-law bought me a bookend, actually two of these. I've got them at work. And it's just brilliant. It's got two sides of different names for God, different characteristics. Let me read a few. He's the prophet. He's almighty. He's the King of Kings. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is sovereign. He is the light. He is the Messiah. He is the healer. He is the righteous Son of God. He is eternal. He is the cornerstone. He's the good shepherd. He's the deliverer. He's the rock. He's Emmanuel. He is the truth and light, and so much more on here. We prepare ourselves to worship because purely He is God. And there's no one else like Him. He is holy. There is no one like our God, no one deserving of our worship. One person I love to follow and to see what he says is a guy called Louis Diglio. And you may have seen some of his features. He's a great American church leader, but he heads up a movement of college students in America. And beginning of every year, he gathers thousands of college students and fills stadiums and shares the gospel. And many people come to Christ. And he's provided lots of great DVDs. Have you heard of the Indescribable song? There's an Indescribable DVD. How Great Is Our God? There's a rather bizarre one called Fruitcake and Ice Cream. Very different thing, Indescribable. Yeah, I get that. How Great Is Our God? Yeah, I get that. Fruitcake and Ice Cream? Watch it. Watch it, then you'll understand. It's an amazing account of grace. And it really just blows you away. He communicates really well. He's all about glorifying God. He's all about, it's not about me. Actually, just look at God. Just look at God. And those who have heard me before know, I love to sometimes look up at the stars at night. I'm not a stargazer, but sometimes if you're anything like me, you remember it's a rubbish bin day the next day, Thursday night. It's for us, I think, oh, let's get the bins out. I go outside, and it's usually I'm like, wow, hold on a minute. Okay, I come to do the bins, but God, you just caught my attention with millions of stars. I'm just like, wow. At the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, and God made stars. And that blows me away, because actually, just those few words, and he made stars, and he knows the stars, and he's named the stars, and he brings them out one at a time. That is the greatness of our God. And whenever I get to that moment, I'm like, wow. And that's not about me. It's not about what he's done for me. He's just sort of just elevating himself and going, look at myself. When I first met Louise, we went for New Year to Centre Parks with our family, and they had a great firework display. So on New Year's Eve, we stood there, and they created this sort of beach, so you stand and just, you look out, and from the sort of water area, there's fireworks going off everywhere, every stretch of light, everyone's like, wow, amazing! And obviously, fireworks create a lot of sort of smoke, so at the end, there seemed to be just a mass of smoke, and it just rose up to the sky. But as people were walking away, people were sort of in awe of the fireworks. I think the reason is they were both captivated by just a clearing in the sky, once the smoke had gone, and a greater display of God's glory, which was just there, just thousands of bright stars. We just stood there and went, so that's the first thing. I want you to grasp actually why we prepare ourselves with it. Because God is God, and he is truly amazing. Separate to what he's done for us, which is enough, but actually let's just think about God is God. He spoke and the earth was created. And I'm sure this woman in this account actually, probably, we don't know a lot about her, but was she on the fringe sometime? Was she there when Jesus fed the 5,000? Was she one of those women who just was not in the 5,000 number? Was she on the fringe of listening to some of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount? We don't know. But she must have had something to actually draw her to Jesus. Bless you. Let's move on to the next thing. So let's just keep and just park that thought that God is always God. I wrote that down. It's something I just want us to remember. God is always God. He's always been. He always will be. So the next reason, he is the one who we should respond to in our worship because of what he has done for you. So yes, God is God, and purely because of who he is, he deserves our worship. But we should respond to the one in our worship because of what he has done for you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If we ever need a passage of scripture just to help us with understanding where we were, well, where we are now because of what Jesus has done for us. This is an amazing little passage. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's start at verse 17. And we know this verse bit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. I was going to carry on, but let's just pause on that one. Not counting people's sins against them. That is what God has done. He's this reconciliation was God's plan for you and me to be reconciled back with God. We know there was a separation. When the fall happened, there was this separation between humanity and God. And God's plan, His heart, has always been to reconcile us back to Himself. And He did that through Jesus on the cross and not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. All He's done for you is a reason why we need to prepare ourselves. A thinking of, yes, God is God, and this is what He's done for me, and I want to respond, I want to worship as a response to that. I'm going to change it slightly now, because actually having the ability to get to the keyboard and to sort of speak as well, we're just going to sing a little refrain, because I want you to respond, I want you to think about those first two points, and we'll come back to some more in a minute. But just think about this greatest sacrifice. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. And it's thinking of the cross. It's being thankful for the cross. It's being thankful for when Jesus breathed His last, that temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom, making that access for you and me to come into His presence. So I'm just going to sing that refrain because I want you to respond to worship. Calvary covers it all. God is God. Why do we prepare? Because of what He's done for you and for me. It's that reality. And for me, it really impacts me. It's not just words I'm saying here. This is something that should stir something up inside of you. Actually, that's where you once was. He has rescued you. I dread to think where I'd be if I didn't have Jesus. I dread to think my lifestyle, my choices. I definitely wouldn't be here, and probably you wouldn't either. But he's rescued. He's redeemed. He's reconciled. I can have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with God. And you do too. And it's not a distance. It's not some God out there, actually. I've got to do so much to come be right with him. Actually, he accepts me for who I am. He accepts you for just as you are. You can come to him even when your life is messed up. And as the prodigal son story shows us, Jesus and God has this image of looking out on the horizon for the prodigal to return home, and he runs to the son. Doesn't point his finger at him and say, oh, you made some mistakes. No, he puts on the robe, he puts on the ring, he gives him the party, the celebration. That's what we've been through. If we've accepted Jesus and he's rescued us, we've had that prodigal son or daughter experience. So it should do something in our very core. It should do something right in the very core of you and me that goes, wow, I've been rescued. I've been saved. I'm a child of God. And that leads on to me the third point of why we should prepare ourselves. We should prepare ourselves to get worse because we really desire and want to. Actually, the choice would be quite easy. But actually, we do need to make that choice. Actually, I really want to worship. I really want to come into his presence. I really want to do my very best. I really want to obey because I remember who he is and what he's done. And it's those two things that make us respond. Worship is my response to what I value most. Ask yourself the question, what do you value most? It might be easy. You might have to say, yeah, God is up there. He's right at the top. Can I be honest and say sometimes actually other things have been, for me, higher priority than God? But that's not just years ago. That's recently where I've made mistakes. And I put other things above God. So I stand here and say, yeah, God is, I put God back at the top, but actually there's times where there's other things that actually slightly turn and put God second or third. And that's a dangerous place to be. But actually it's a loving place because actually he does embrace it. I understand, Carol, I understand. As long as you come back to him, repentant, and say, God, I put you first. You are the most important person in my life. Whenever I speak to youth, and when I was school youth leader at the church before I came here, I always said, like, God is your number one. If you're looking for a husband or a girlfriend or a wife, whatever, look for number two. And I joke, like, Louise is my number two, because God's my number one. He's the most important. Then it's Louise, and then my family. But God has got to be the most important. But for me, it's grasping that reality of what he's done. It's knowing that I'm saved, that I'm redeemed, that I'm forgiven, that in his eyes I am beautiful, I am precious, I am adored by God. It's knowing that. I pray you know that too. If you don't, you can know that. That is the truth this morning, actually. You can know the saving one. So, how do you do? I've just given you sort of four practical things, four helpful things of how do you prepare to worship. And the first one for me is remember. Take time to remember that you actually can enter into his presence. The woman in this story, in the times probably the place would have been a bit of a courtyard in the house. And it was quite normal when a rabbi or a teacher was coming into a place for anybody to just come and enter. Just open house, very much. So she would have heard about Jesus and heard that he was going to this Pharisee's house. And she would have been nervous, I'm sure. She prepared herself, she had her alabaster jar. And she stepped into that house and stood behind Jesus. And how they were reclined, actually used to lay and put their feet behind them. So she would have been, it says behind, and able to get to Jesus' feet. Wasn't be how we sit today, having been at the feet of Jesus at the front. She would have been behind Jesus because his feet would have been behind him. But there was this openness. She was able to come into a place where Jesus was. And we need to remember we can come because of what Jesus has done. We can come. So it's remembering we have that access. We sing a song, "You made a way for me to enter the holy place. I am yours, you are mine forever. And we'll be together." There's this relationship we have. Jesus says, "You can come." So firstly, remember that we have the ability to enter his presence. Number two, devote time. Be actively preparing. And I thought about all sort of the practical things. We've just returned from holiday a little while ago, and Louise is very organised and very good. She's a note taker. But actually, we had to prepare. We had to sort of, if you go on holiday, do anything, even preparing this morning. I'm glad you all prepared to come this morning and didn't stay in your bedclothes. You made that decision. Actually, yeah, I'm going to give some time to my appearance. Guys, I'm going to shave if you haven't got a beard. I'm going to make myself presentable. I sometimes have a Saturday off shaving. So Sunday's usually sort of quite sort of a, ouch, or why do I not shave on a Saturday? But we give time. We shower, we dress, we eat. We prepare ourselves to come. We give time. And that's something else. How do we prepare? Let's give ourselves time. Let's devote time to remembering. And prepare ourselves. This is point three. Preparing your heart to come with thanksgiving. And that's somewhat difficult to do because we're sometimes in places where being thankful is not an easy thing to do. We go through circumstances in life that actually I'm not in a place where I find it easy to be thankful. But actually, it's the choice we make. I'm going to come to worship. I'm going to be thankful. And I'm going to come to bring my all to God. So it's deciding. We put time on it, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, okay, you're getting ready to walk out the door. And there's probably so many implications. You've got children, as I have, it's not always the easiest thing. We joke about going out of the house and going to Paluccio's. Have you seen Michael McIntyre? Anyone Michael McIntyre fans? No, okay. Oh, one there, brilliant. He says something about like when you've not got children, it's like, should we go out of the house? Yeah, let's go out of the house. If you've got children, it's like, it's never that simple. It's like, get your shoes on, even to the toilet. You've got your coat, and you've got this, you've got your bag packed. But I'm trying to think, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, even with that, it's deciding to prepare. Okay, I want to bring thanksgiving when I come to worship. And the last one, choose to overcome the many reasons not to worship. And I want to just, that might sound quite negative, but I spent some time praying about that actually, because there are so many distractions, there's so many reasons for not worshiping. And some of you may have experienced those already this morning. Not a good morning with children. overslept, underslept. So many reasons where you wake up on a Sunday morning or wake up to a lifestyle of worship, you just go, oh, I don't want to step into today. Choose to overcome the many reasons to worship, because it all goes back to who God is and what he's done for you. And if I can just highlight two final things, that's what I want you to grasp. Because the other things sort of all fit together with that. If we can grasp how great God is, that actually he is constantly worshipped, always has been, and all the things God is are true. And what just helps us, perhaps even more, is what he's done for you and for me. And when we receive that, there is something right in the very core of you and me that just doesn't want to do anything else but worship. To give him his worth, to give him the value and the adoration. And we sang the songs, and I adore you. You are my everything, I adore you. We sang that a few times, and that's why I repeat things sometimes when I lead worship, because actually I want to get from head to heart. That actually you really, yes, you are my everything, and I adore you. You are my everything, and I adore you. God, you are my everything, and I adore you. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just spend these few valuable minutes before we have to collect the children and the noise level goes up quite a bit. Just think about all that I've shared this morning. Why do you prepare for worship? Because he is the one deserving of your worship purely because of who he is. God is always God. And he is the one we should respond to in our worship because of what he has done for you. And our response should wholeheartedly be because we desire and want to worship him. There is nobody else, there's nothing else that we want to worship more than him. Because our limited knowledge is enough to understand who he is and what he's done. How do we do that? We remember. And if reading scripture helps you, get your Bible and go along. Read about what he's done. That has enabled you to come into his presence. Devote time. Give yourself time to remember and to adore. Prepare to come with thanksgiving in your hearts, bringing him your all, giving him everything. He deserves your all because he gave his all. And choose to overcome those reasons, those distractions for not worshiping. Father God, we sit here in your presence and we know you are God. We want to be still and know truly that you are God. And you are holy. There is no one like you. creator. You are sovereign. You're a God who holds all things together. You are our Saviour. You've reached down to each one of us and rescued us. Out of the lifestyle, out of the pit of where we were, and you put us in the same place. Father, I pray that our response to who you are and what you've done will just be evident in our worship, giving you worth in everything we do and say. Lord, we know it's more than what we've done this morning. May I pray for each one of us on our Mondays to Saturdays that, Lord, we will be worshippers who worship you in spirit and in truth. That even when we're by ourselves, that our thoughts will be drawn towards you. But at times when we gather like this together, as a group of your children, that we will celebrate together, collectively worshipping you. Father, we're so thankful. We're so grateful. We are so in awe of you, all you are, and all you've done. Just in the stillness, just allow the Holy Spirit to start speaking to your hearts.
Just ponder that word from Gerald just for a few more seconds.